Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 18th of March, recording at 8:10 p.m. And that's Greenwich Mean Time, and also later than usual for my broadcasts. Apologies for that. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Stock markets are quiet. Asia was mixed. Europe was mostly a wee bit softer, but nothing over a percentage point, well under a percentage point for the most part. Very quiet. Wall Street was similarly quiet, with the Dow doing slightly better, up 45 points, and the S&P being down 0.03%, so virtually unchanged. NASDAQ up a tiny bit. Long-dated government bonds saw a wee bit of profit-taking, except for gilts, which presumably are still benefiting from quantitative easing. The U.S. dollar firmed here today, particularly against the euro. And, let's see, nickel and tin were up, nickel quite strong among metals. The others were a little bit easier. Gold reversed some earlier decline, and is currently trading at 1,126. Crude oil steadyish around the $82 level, just above it. Natural gas soft down at $4.09. Grains and beans down a little bit. That's pretty much it. Now, okay, what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, the general trend has been pretty persistent to the upside. Now, markets aren't racing ahead, or there are very few instances where they're actually racing ahead. It tends to be more a little bit of backing and filling, a little bit of a rising, gently rising consolidation, then occasionally followed by a 1 or 2 day spurt. That's the norm here overall. If we look at a weekly chart, and I always commend those to you for perspective, if we look at a weekly chart, we see a 5 week rally up from the rising 200 day moving averages in most instances. Now, you see that with Wall Street, you see that with most of the Asian markets, although not China, which mainland China, which has more of a ranging pattern. You see it in the European stock markets in the UK. As a matter of fact, the UK and the continental European markets have been leaders recently because of the comparative weakness of their currencies, a factor that I've mentioned before on a number of occasions. And of course, that means that their export earnings improve if they're consolidated in the smaller currency, in the weaker currency rather. And it also means that they are cheaper for investors in harder currency zones. It also means that overseas shares are more expensive for investors in what happened to be soft currency zones at the time. Okay, overall, what can we say about stock markets? The 5 week advance has been impressive. It is what markets do when they are in an overall bull phase and have seen a reversion to the trend mean represented by the rising 200-day moving average. Now, stock markets vary, the major ones now vary between short-term overextensions. Well, most of them show a short-term overextension. And some of them show that because they have broken up to new recovery highs within this cyclical bull market. And others show it because they've rallied back to former highs within broad trading ranges. Now, are we likely to see a little pause and consolidation here? Well, yes, we could. But I don't think there's much downside risk, and we may see a continuation of the sort of rising consolidation. You get a day or two on the upside, and then you get a small pause, that sort of thing, or pause for a few days. I don't think we will see a big sell-off, because if we put this short-term overbought in context, we can see that stock markets spent many months in those ranging consolidations prior to the last 5 weeks' gains. So, in other words, there's a lot of support underneath current levels overall. And I don't see any real fundamental factor on the horizon that could seriously dent this advance and cause a major sell-off in stock markets. People worry about China. Well, the China A-share market is underperforming, as we know, but it hasn't broken down through that important key day reversal low that we saw on the 3rd of February. So it's not a positive leash effect on the Asian markets, but it's not all that negative. It has been edging higher since that early February low, ranging with a slight upward bias. Wall Street, the really big leash effect, has been really quite positive, as you know. I think we had a new high on the Dow yesterday, which had lagged slightly. That's of course a high within this medium-term upward trend, which Owen and I have consistently called a cyclical bull market. Interest rates remain generally accommodative. That's very positive. The Fed went out of its way to state a couple of days ago that it wasn't going to change rates anytime soon. Markets like that, not surprisingly. Where rates are going up, they haven't risen so far in historic terms to represent that strong of a headwind. So I think this is still a benign environment overall. Now, if markets do too well in the short term, that will set us up for another reaction, possibly a correction. So in other words, if we get big gains in April on top of the gains that we've seen in February and March, that may well lead to a short-term setback. But do we have factors to cause a bear market? Absolutely not, in my opinion. We certainly don't have the tight monetary conditions. We certainly don't have the soaring long-dated government bond yields, and we certainly don't have the spiking oil price. Now, all this will change at some stage, but it's still a case of make hay while the sun shines, as I've emphasized over and over again in this broadcast. And rather than joining the wall of worry in here, I think what makes more sense is to look around and find some of these shares that are completing. If you've taken the chart seminar, or if you haven't, you've heard me refer to situations, Owen and myself refer to the number of markets that are breaking up out of, continuing still to break up out of the first step above base formations in the United States. Look at General Electric, for example. That chart, that got a little bit overextended in the short term, but if that pulls back a dollar or two, I think that would be extremely attractive. I would consider buying it. Siemens, which I bought before, it's a little over, which I bought earlier, it's a little overextended right now, but I'm certainly not tempted to sell it, and I might buy a little bit more if it were to ease back. It's that type of situation overall. There are lots of charts, if you click through the sections in the markets that you're interested in, that you will see that don't look all that overextended, that have begun to perform by breaking out of these large trading ranges that often represent the first step above the base, or where markets have been stronger, they'll be well above the base. But you get the point. And you get the point here. Our view, as I've stated so often, before we had that reversion to the mean, represented by the 200-day moving averages, was that that during most of the bull market, the risk, such as it was, would be the occasional medium-term correction towards that 200-day moving average. And when stock markets or individual shares rally too rapidly above that moving average, they become susceptible to a mean reversion. Once they've seen the mean reversion, provided they continue to find support near that MA, they are candidates for another run on the upside. So the best time to buy is when you see some steadying near those 200-day moving averages. If you're really nervous, the time to sell is when you see markets pushing ahead a little bit too strongly, because if they run in rapidly ahead of the rising moving average, and you need to look at a weekly chart to view that in perspective, see how it's performed previously in this cycle, see how it performed back in that 2003 and the 2007 bull market phase. But the point I'm trying to make is that you buy on the reversions to the mean and you sell when you get too much regression above the mean. Or you worry about regression to the mean, I beg your pardon, when you see something become overextended relative to the mean. What else to mention here? Precious metals. Gold is in a ranging pattern here right now. I've said on a number of occasions, watch palladium. It's the current leader of the cycle. That leadership changes hands on a medium-term basis, but watch palladium. It unquestionably is the current leader, and if we're going to get another leg to the upside anytime soon, and I think we will, it should be led by palladium. So you get a sustained break by palladium above the mid-480s region, and that will be a bull sign for platinum, which I would expect to follow, and it would be a bull sign for silver and gold. Gold has a bit of a headwind from a concern over IMF sales, which are temporary. I'd like to see it hold above the 1100 level, although it wouldn't be fatal if it went below that, but that is the first support level beneath us to monitor, to be beneath the current price. Once we get above the 1150 level for more than a day or two, I think you'll get a lot of people talking about an inverse head and shoulders pattern there, and I suspect bullish sentiment will pick up once again. Meanwhile, the price action looks steady. And what else to mention? I'm not tempted to do anything in the soft commodities here right now. I think some of the best opportunities, I probably should look through more of the share listings to see shares that have the potential to break up out of this first steps above the base, and therefore become momentum plays, and participate in a few more of those. And I'm pleased with the way floor money themes are performing. They're generally steady, and when I look at my top 10 portfolio in terms of weighting, most of them have gone through the highs that we had seen back in 2007 and 2008. Okay, I say that not as a boast, but as an expression of relief. And I'm not in tomorrow, but I'll be back on Monday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.